because I just asked Siri for a Flock of Seagulls song. I knew it was Flock of Seagulls, but it was Silence. Like, I don't know the song.
Okay, we may as well start. We may or may not be live.
Perfect. We can swear.
Okay.
It's still recorded. We'll put the audio on the website. But you can still do what you want.
I swear.
Okay, well, with that, let's get rolling, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for joining. Today is Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. Hope everyone has an opportunity to celebrate. Before we get rolling, Bruce, do you mind just doing a quick roll call?
Sure. Okay, West Salem Redevelopment Advisory Board, May 5th, 2021. Jeff Miller?
Yep.
Brandon Fallman?
Here.
Kathy Goss?
Here.
John Hannum?
Present.
Tyler Jackson? Not present. Mark May?
Here.
Samantha Ross?
Here.
Sean Inbum? Not present. Brittany excused. Michael Ryan?
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you very much. So, in case anyone didn't notice, we have a new member, Sean Inbum. Is that the name, Tori? I apologize. I screwed that up already once, I'm sure.
That's right. Sean Inbum.
He is not on the call this morning, it appears, but hopefully we'll start attending next month. I think Tori's going to meet with him and have a little kind of a bring you up to speed kind of meeting that we all had when we joined. So hopefully he'll be participating next month and can get involved. With that said, Eunice is going to be here today. Eunice Kim is overseeing the comprehensive plan zone change for the city that's called the Power Salem. Hopefully everyone's been tracking that and participating in those exercises. I know I have, amongst many others. I know Brandon has. He's made a few pins he indicated this morning, and I'm sure we can all have those conversations. So we'll get to Eunice here in just one second. Pretty important topic, I believe. But all that said, has anyone had an opportunity to look over the agenda? Anything need to change? Or does anyone want to make a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor, please raise the hand or say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Any against? There's no other people to say, so we're moving on. Minutes. Has anyone had an opportunity to review the minutes?
Yes, they're thorough and well done. Motion to approve the minutes.
Second by Michael. Any discussion? Oh, let's do a quick vote. All in favor, please say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
We're voting for it. No one can vote against it, so we're moving on. And we don't have action items. So we're going to move right into Eunice. Are you with us, Eunice, now? There she is. Good morning, Eunice.
Morning. Sorry for the craziness earlier.
Not at all.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, so I'll just go back, and I know Brandon has been involved, I'm sure everyone else has, but Eunice has been going through for a couple of years, looking to do a zone, comp plan zone change for the entire city, and some of that involves changing current zones to a new zone, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. Hopefully, there's a new interactive map. I think it's really important that all of us get involved in some input, certainly regarding the topic of the URA, but it also affects the whole city, so people should be communicating with other people throughout the city. But primarily, we're going to be talking about the URA today. Obviously, that's our task. So with that, Eunice, are you going to be able to share your screen a little bit and go through an interactive map or for you? Will you be doing that?
I can do that. Do you want me to show the map, or do you want me to give a quick update on all the other things we're doing, or you just want to focus on the map?
No, of course, please. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. So I just wanted to let you know. So I think I came here last before the vision was accepted. Is that right?
Yes.
Of the council, because that happened in early March. And so that's when we brought kind of, you know, the high level goals and a proposed comprehensive plan map. So again, like kind of a high level map to the council to ask for acceptance. So it wasn't an adoption process, but we were asking basically for direction to keep going, making sure we were on the right track. So then when we started the detailed work on the zoning that you're referring to, Jeff, as well as the policies, we knew we had the right framework generally. So they did accept that vision. So now we are working on the policies and the map. I'll just briefly touch on the policies and we can focus on the map if that's the interest today. So the policy work is pretty detailed as well. We had a lot of draft policies in the vision document itself that we had kind of crafted throughout our visioning process over the last year and a half, 2 years. But in addition to that, we had staff across the city also look at other comprehensive plans in other cities to see what other ideas are out there that might make sense for Salem. So we're now in the process of kind of getting input from the community on those, as well as the initial kind of draft policies through weekly policy meetings that we're having every Wednesday. So we have one today. We're walking through each topic. So we've had, and Tori joined us on one. We had one on economic development and employment. We had one on housing, equity and engagement, parks and rec was last week. And this week is kind of natural resources, the environment. And so we're meeting at noon and at 5:30. Those are all open to the public. And we're kind of doing some interactive voting, getting people's thoughts on those policies. And then we have a survey online, which I think I maybe shared before. That's in English and Spanish, focused again on the policies. In addition to that, we have a new zoning subcommittee that's made up of four city councilors and four planning commissioners. And they are focused solely on code changes, so not on the map, but like actual regulation changes that could reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So for example, they met for the first time last Friday, and they talked about increasing heights along our Chariots Core network, for example, maybe increasing densities, looking at our parking requirements. So kind of big, broad changes that could potentially impact our greenhouse gas emissions. So they're meeting again on May 27th. Those are also open to the public. You can sign up to give comment. You can submit comments. You can watch those. So that's all the other stuff. And then there's the map, which I will share my screen.
Yes. Yep. Did you mention the May 19th, the virtual public forum? I sent that to the group.
Yeah. Thank you. So our weekly meetings on Wednesdays, we had had a placeholder meeting in case there was another topic that came up that we hadn't, you know, made the space for. And so far we haven't really needed that meeting, and that's on May 19th. So we have switched that meeting to be a virtual forum on the interactive map, kind of more of a Q&A session where we might answer kind of some frequently asked questions that we've been getting already, but then it's really meant to be a forum that, again, at 12 and at 5:30 on Wednesday the 19th to answer questions. Wednesday the 19th, as people start diving into their properties, for example, and have questions on the map. So I'm gonna share that map real quick. So this is a map. I don't know if you've all had a chance to see it or not. Let me see if I can shrink it so I can see the rest of it. And all the red little pins are comments. The vast majority of our comments have been in West Salem. So just to show you how you can use it, you click on this little push pin, and then you drop it wherever you want to drop it, and you can add a comment. I'll just kind of zoom into West Salem. Let me close this part down 1 second. So these proposed zone changes are in line with that higher level proposed comprehensive plan map. So where we showed, for example, mixed use on the map that we brought to in the vision document, we're showing different levels of mixed use zones now. So you'll see, are we proposing mixed use 1, 2, the new mixed use 3, etc. And let me just also show you how that works. So I know this has been of interest, this kind of inner West Salem area. So the idea is that you can click on to find more information also about what that zone is. So if you were to click on a zone that we already have, for example, so we already have a commercial retail zone, it would bring you to the commercial retail code. So you could read the existing code to see what uses are allowed. Because the mixed use 3 is a new zone, when you click on that, it actually brings you to a new two-page overview of what we're envisioning that zone to be. So you can see the uses that we're proposing, some of the design development related standards as well. So let me zoom in a little bit more. So I don't know if you want have specific questions, or you just want to, you know, kind of explain generally what we're proposing. Thoughts? I'm open to questions.
I think it's important to probably look at some of the new changes that are going to the MU3. They're in the purple, I suppose, or blue. And then I think it would probably be important also to, can we click on the red pins just to see what comments are being made?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there's no comments on that inner area. Let me talk to, I guess, what the proposed changes are. So this is probably the area you're most interested in. Can you all see that?
Yep.
So this is the inner West Salem area that's currently mostly industrial. And we're proposing a mixed-use 3 zone. That zone would be more similar to the commercial retail zone with an allowance for housing outright than the current mixed-use 1 and 2 zones. So current mixed-use 1 and 2 zones that we have elsewhere, like on State Street, are more restrictive in terms of the uses. It really focuses on kind of more pedestrian-friendly design and uses, so retail, office, residential. The MU3 is a little bit more expansive than that, and that's largely what we're proposing. This darker purple, we are proposing a mixed-use one where there is already kind of that smaller cluster kind of businesses that are kind of a little bit more walkable. We're obviously open to input on that. This here along Patterson, we proposed mixed use 2, which is a lower height and kind of a more pedestrian friendly corridor. The thought was that it would kind of extend the 2nd Street Edgewater up to Patterson. We'd heard from the community some folks are interested, and those are the comments there, that mixed the ESMU, the Edgewater 2nd Street, might make more sense there along Edgewater. Those are the two comments here. And we initially didn't propose that because that there's a setback in those zones, if you remember when that zone was crafted, of 20 feet against residential. And so those lots are pretty small. So with 20 feet, we were just not sure if it would really restrict what you could do on those properties. We're open to it. Again, we're sending, property owners and business tenants are gonna be getting a postcard from us. They should be getting it this week, if they haven't already, that lets them know what's happening. And so we anticipate hopefully more comments from property owners as well. In any case, so that's the proposal there. We're proposing to keep the rest the same. This comment, I haven't seen this one yet, says city owned parcel, old right of way, linear park should be removed from the comp plan. Okay, so not related to the use. Anyway, you want any more clarification on kind of what the proposal is in that area?
I'm just gonna jump in real quick. Michael, this is for you. What I find important here is your group is going from the industrial use, which the underlying zone is still allowed. However, it's something for your group to really be aware of for that mixed use 3. Especially if there is language, and Eunice and you and I have talked about this probably more times than you want, but I'll say it again that currently the way code is, and I'll remember the section, somewhere 800 I believe, it says if a building is vacant for 1 year, that it goes to the current zone. So in other words, if one of your buildings on site, Michael, was sit there, if that language is not rewritten or changed, or the language of a fire or an extensive fire that destroys part of the building, if that language isn't massaged and changed a little bit, it's possible that you would have to fight to get back to what you are currently because of the new zoning. So it's just something to really be aware of, and that's not a knock on this whole process, because I think Eunice is doing a great job, and I think she's got a hard job trying to please everyone throughout the city. So Eunice, kudos to you. I would go crazy and swear a lot and tell people what I really think, but I think in this situation, it's just good to have these, this conversation and for you to be prepared with Michael.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And I know with, you know, Truett going under new ownership as the beginning of the year, they may not, the new ownership team may not really be aware of something that they might know about all the stuff for proposed. Thank you.
I'm happy to chat with you offline and with someone on your team, you, whomever, if you want to talk about some of those things. And I'm sure Eunice is always great about it as well. Sorry, Eunice, go ahead.
No, I would say, yeah, if there's, if you talk to any property owners, particularly if they, you know, whether they get the flood, whether or not they've already gotten the flyer and they, or they already know about the project, and they have specific questions, I'm happy to just have a phone call with them as well, because I think some of it is like, I have a specific use or I have a specific thing in mind, you know, what will this mean? And that's, you know, obviously a more detailed conversation, and I'm happy to have that conversation.
I was just going to say, since it was brought up, the continued use provision, I think, is what's being referenced. Do you know if that, because I know that when we did our zone change through the West Salem Business District, we changed the continued use provision in that. I would assume that there is an impetus on, since you're doing an overall citywide change to address what Jeff brought up as far as the continued use with the whole code citywide. So I don't know if that's being discussed, if you could maybe speak to that.
Yeah, we're looking at where we should be adding that provision. It's kind of a newer provision that we started adding with our, we started with like residential when homes would burn down and their single family, and the single family wasn't allowed in the future. People had trouble like rebuilding, et cetera. And so that's kind of been done already. We started doing it again with our new mixed use zones. So when we would, that basically say, if you were to rebuild or improve or just stay the same, you could if you were there. And the reason that you wouldn't be allowed in the future was because of our work, right? Like a new zone. So we would carry that forward to the new mixed use 3 zone as well. But I hear that concern. It's a concern we hear from a lot of existing property owners, kind of what's the impact going to be if my use isn't currently allowed in the future. So that's our way of addressing that.
Good morning, Eunice.
Yeah,
I was calling you Kim. I'm just curious, so with the proposed changes, what is timeline? So something gets voted on, it's implemented, everyone is, you know, 100% in the same direction. What is that timeline of changing that?
Yeah, we will plan to have this map open probably for the at least through early June. And then we will make revisions and present that back to the community. We wouldn't go through the adoption process probably to the end of this year. This is just one component. I know it's a major component, but we have to write a whole comp plan as well and write all of our findings and do all of our analysis, etc. So we anticipate having a work session. That would be kind of the first step before we initiated a adoption process in October. So it would be after that that we went through an adoption process. That would be the whole full-blown public hearings at Planning Commission, public hearings at Council. Ultimately, the Council would have to vote to approve it. So we still, even though it seems like we're, I feel like we've made a lot of progress, it's still a ways out.
Eunice, just one last thing, just chime in on that. Eunice, you can go into it. They're looking to have this fully adopted by end of year. Did you say that, or did I miss it?
Optimistic though. I think if we start the adoption process, it would be after that work session. So I think we want to start the adoption process by the end of the year.
A couple of questions here.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. That's all right. These are kind of more general questions to build off what Samantha was saying, Eunice. Kind of in addition to the timeline, what key milestones, I guess, kind of at the 40,000 foot level have already been achieved with the project? And then what are any of the kind of short-term wins / discoveries that have happened throughout this process? Mainly asking because when we engage with people in the community, it's kind of nice to also be able to have some succinct talking points if people are asking about, you know, what's going on with a specific project?
Yeah, sure. Great question.
Or,
yeah, no, that's great. The major milestone really in this project was when we wrapped up the visioning process. That was when we were really out and about in the community and brought that vision to the council in March. That milestone was saying, these are the high-level goals that we think represent the priorities in the community, as well as the high-level map. And so, for example, the map and the zoning map, for example, we had heard that people want to see more mixed use along some of our major corridors. So we're now looking at how do we do that at the zoning level. But that was an idea that we kind of vetted through the community and the council in March. So that was that. The big one was the vision in March. What was the other question? Discoveries we've made?
Yeah, discoveries or even any kind of short-term wins that have kind of come up along the way to help kind of talk people through why this is a great thing for the community, whether it's in the URA or just in the city of Salem in general.
Yeah, well, I think that what we're trying to do is that we put it pretty broadly that we're trying to create more flexibility along those in those mixed use areas and promote more growth in those areas, particularly where there's transit. And I think there's been broad consensus around that. I will say though that zoning subcommittee that I mentioned earlier are looking at changes to that. So I would let people know about that. I don't know about wins. There's still a lot of debate going on. I think one of the changes that happened that was a big change through the process where we have shifted some of our thinking has to do with the greenhouse gas emissions reduction goal the council set to be net carbon neutral by 2050. That really pushes us to see what else we can do to make sure that our neighborhoods are walkable and make sure that our corridors, like people can walk, bike, take transit. So that was the reason kind of we formed that whole subcommittee, that the zoning subcommittee. So I don't know if that's a win, that's just a kind of a shift. Any wins that you can think of, Tori?
I think just, as Jeff mentioned, this is a difficult process to bring everybody on citywide. And, you know, you have to go out into the community. We had no pandemic. So, you know, were you in person for the start of it, transitioning to online and making that accessible has been huge. I think it's important to know, and you might have mentioned it, but this is, the state requires a comprehensive plan, and it's been decades since this has been updated. So that's how monumental of an effort it is. So I think that's the thing, is just that it's progressing. And I feel that from what I've witnessed anyway, I've had the joy of participating in some meetings at business groups and others with Eunice, where she's been out there, and it's a mix. You know, I would say most are supportive, but you still get a few that are sharing other opinions. But I think just generally just trying to make it available and being out and about as often as possible, I think it's been great.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, I think one of our big pushes is really to try to reach folks, organizations that maybe don't typically get involved in process like this, planning projects like this. And so we've really tried to engage like anyone, everyone, some of which are very new to even planning generally. So a lot of it's just been education as well. I will think what I would say, one other thing that's important is that we're not proposing to actually develop anything. I think that's kind of a misconception that's out there, and that's on me. When people are seeing the map, people think that there's a development proposal for a multifamily on this property in West Salem, and it's causing a lot of fear. That's something that we hope to talk about when we have that virtual workshop on May 19th or the virtual forum. There's no development proposal. This isn't the city trying to buy the properties. This isn't forcing any property owner to do anything. They can keep their use if they want that use forever. But I think that's kind of a misconception that I need to work on.
What has been your, the feedback from public schools? Have you gotten some involvement?
Yeah, we've been working with the school district throughout the process. So on one side, we're trying to make sure whatever we're proposing that we understand the impacts long-term to the school district, like will they need to build a new school in a certain area because of what we're proposing? They don't. We have checked with them at the vision level. We also are working with them in terms of their own properties. Is the zoning right? Are there corrections that need to be made? And then the impacts around their properties. And so we're having those conversations.
Eunice, thanks again for being here. I know a lot of people are quick to express concerns or fears, but within the urban renewal area that we're concerned with, have people spoken to a positive vision? You know, are there people who have said, hey, we really want X to happen or to be, you know, we're in a, our board is trying to make things happen, whatever those things might be. You know, redevelopment is in the name. So what positive vision, if any, you know, has been expressed by the people that you've spoken with? Something we can build towards.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. We have heard support for kind of a long-term future where that inner kind of industrial area, as it transitions, becomes more mixed use. And that's one of the reasons we felt pretty confident in putting that in that area. Again, we're still getting input, but I think there's been a lot of discussion that that could really become a vibrant center that enhances and kind of plays off both the Edgewater District and the kind of downtown area where Roth's and everything is. And so I think we've heard support for that.
And this is a little granular and you don't obviously have any control over this, but have people said specific kinds of uses? You know, I mean, do people, you know, they come to you and they say, hey, I wish we had a motorcycle shop. I don't know. I'm just, you know, trying to get a feel for what the folks in West Salem are thinking they actually want that on a practical level. Or and maybe that hasn't come up and that's fine, but.
I'm trying to think. I mean, we've heard things like a laundromat, I think we've heard more grocery. We've heard, I don't know what other kind of specifics, but just generally kind of more shops and services is what we've heard.
I do appreciate it. And I know that's not the level of detail you go into, but I think the big titles get thrown around, you know, the zoning names, and I'm not sure everyone always is familiar with, you know, what that means. And so trying to look on a practical level, you know, on a day-to-day basis, what people are looking for in their West Salem life. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, and there has been kind of discussion about obviously impacts on the transportation system and can we get more jobs? Is there a way to get more jobs in West Salem so that there isn't always a need to always go across? So that to the extent that we can look at that as well. And so that's some of the conversation too. Kind of that craft industrial idea, like that's why the mixed use 3, I think, we proposed as opposed to the mixed use 1, it does allow a little bit broader uses in terms of that kind of use.
Yeah, jobs without, with as little traffic as possible probably, however we manage that.
Just real quickly, I guess to everyone, two things. First, Eunice had mentioned that every Wednesday there's at noon an opportunity to get in on a Zoom call and interactive questions that you could kind of chime in and lend your voice to it. Every week there's a different topic. I've been on all of them except for the very first one. I think it's really important that people can do it, to chime in and participate in those. Along those lines, Eunice, there was a question that I had. You mentioned transportation just a few seconds ago to Mark's question. And I posed a question when the Chariot group was part of the Zoom call, and it was about the idea that are the Chariots, I know that everyone, there's a push to be zero net emissions and all that stuff. I get it. However, with the buses running around the way they do, it seems inefficient to me because there's, in West Salem specifically, there might be 2 or 3 people on it, as opposed to, so I digress. I pose the question with the Chariot group that have they looked at doing anything different instead of having big buses? Have they looked at more efficient ways of maybe having vans that go into neighborhoods to be more efficient than these buses that are major routes where people have to get there? Do you know anything about that? Has there been any conversation? The question was never addressed in that meeting. And I just get real sensitive when we start talking about, hey, we're going to take all this property and we're going to change zonings over time, not forcing it. I understand and I agree, especially with that area, in the industrial area, you know, down the road. But I think if the emphasis is always on buses and transportation, that model seems to be fading like many models because technology has advanced. Uber, Lyft, things of that nature, delivery of foods. So are the chariots group, are they shifting as well? That's a long-winded question, I apologize.
Oh, that's totally fine. So I can't speak for them, but I do know that they are going to kick off their own long-range plan, and it's the first time they're doing that. So they've always kind of focused on, well, I don't know always, but they focus on kind of, you know, five, you know, smaller increments in the future in terms of where coverage needs to be, frequency, et cetera. But they are going to start looking at a new long-range plan that looks at different options. So should they be looking at different types? And I think that is part of the conversation. They are looking also right now, they have at least in South Salem, right, they're looking at a new transit center and what could that look like, and is that a different model? So kind of the micro-mobility, smaller connections to it, not just your traditional center. I know they're looking at that there. So I would anticipate that's part of the conversation. The city will be part of that conversation because as we project, this is where we think we'll see mixed use, where we think we'll see more housing, et cetera, and more jobs. Those need to align. And so I can bring that up if for some reason they're not thinking about it. I'm sure they are thinking about it though, long-term.
Thank you.
Jeff, I have a public comment when there's a, you know, unless people, yeah, others have questions on the board. I don't want to interrupt. I just wanted to share. It's, I think, one of the only ones that we received by email. That's related to the topic.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so this isn't related to the urban renewal area, but so this is from Rochelle. I think she's in the West Salem neighborhood. I'm going to share my screen so I can show the location. Okay, so her comment is, as one of the many neighbors that would be severely impacted by this, we strongly object to this change, this being the location. So what I have here is Yola, Mule Deer, Burley, so it's up again off of Yola in West Salem. And you can see a lot of comments through there. I think it looks like it's being changed from maybe single family to multifamily. So yeah, it's changing multifamily residential RM2. So that's specifically not the whole project, but that location. So it would destroy the serenity of the park. So I'm not sure exactly what park. I mean, there's surrounding neighborhood parks, but she wasn't specific. Surrounding homes, it would result in tremendous increase of traffic on Yola, not to mention the curve on Yola there is well known as a dangerous intersection. Every year, there are multiple accidents required closure of Yola, beginning at Burley Hill and heading down the hill. We have had to have one park close already from drug dealers using it as their meeting spot, and this potentially result in this park ending with the same outcome. The traffic issue has made a problem for West Salem, and to even consider building another apartment complex and destroying what those affected area would have worked hard to build is preposterous. Why not build it behind or in front of your home so that you can look out your front door, back window, deck, enjoy the view of a large apartment building? So that was the comment, and that was the location. Again, not related to the urban renewal area specifically, just, but it was shared with the West Salem Redevelopment Partners Report group, so I'd share.
You know, thanks for sharing, actually. I got that email. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say,
Did everyone get that email? I got that email and I thought, what the heck is this girl talking about? I have no idea what she's referring to. That said, that is a really nice little park there. I walk my dog down through there on occasion. In reading that email, I have not experienced Yola shut down multiple times throughout the year because of an accident or anything along those lines. So there was a bit of a disconnect there for me when I read that email. And I think the part that she's referring to that was shut down is the one that's on Highway 22, the old rest stop. There was a lot of interesting activity that was taking place there for many years. But I'm going to have to go in and read these pins because I live near that, and I walk down Yola and take my dog to that park. I like that park. I don't necessarily see that park being destroyed if multifamily goes in there, but again, to Eunice's point, that's a long-term thing, and right now it's home, so I'm not sure. I'll have to read up on that specifically, even though it's not who you are.
The comments on there, Jeff, too, I have the map up right now and I was reading through some of the comments. I haven't found a positive one yet, so all the little pins are, it doesn't seem to be something people are thrilled about, at least.
Gotcha.
Eunice, in a general sense, without speaking specifically to that piece, what's the city's position when it comes to multifamily being kind of distributed widely throughout neighborhoods in the city versus more central on transportation corridors? Just from a neutral planning sense, you know, is there a general philosophy? Because this issue comes up, you know, frequently in conversation, and I don't know what how the city looks at it in a planning basis.
Sure. Well, I mean, one of the things that we heard throughout the visioning is that people do want to see a distributed multifamily throughout the community. They do not want it concentrated in one neighborhood versus another, and we have tried to do that as part of this. We also have to meet our projected housing needs, right? We know we need more land for multifamily, so it has been a challenge to find locations. And we tend to get pushback any time there's a multifamily project or a zone. So we will take all of the input and see what revisions we can make. But yeah, and I would say that I think this came up even at the West Salem Neighborhood Association. We are trying to focus on the corridors and allowing housing more outright in our mixed use zones along our commercial corridors currently to incentivize kind of infill redevelopment. But that alone is not going to meet our multifamily need. And so we are looking at other areas where there's some vacant land, including west, south, northeast, everywhere.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Eunice, with the state requiring or eliminating essentially single family housing, are you guys proposing code changes to single family zone in this update?
Yeah. So we're actually working on that in advance of this project. We hope to actually have our first work session with the Planning Commission in June to make code updates to our single family zone and other zones that allow single family detached. Essentially, that's kind of the requirement, where we would allow up to fourplex and cottage clusters, which could be up to 10, 12 units potentially in the single family zone. So the single family zone as it is today is gonna change. But I think those changes will be over time, right? Not everyone's gonna now build a quadplex on their property, even if the size allows it. So, but yeah, that process is moving forward. You'll probably see public hearings this summer.
Well, I got one more question, sorry, related to the R4 zoning down in the renewal area. So, Eunice, I've talked to you about another zone just south of Mission Street, kind of east of Bush Park, east of 13th Street, and how that single family zoning there is being protected to preserve some lower income housing. Is there, I mean, I know that we're talking about distributing this multifamily throughout neighborhoods, but if this all gets changed to R4, we're basically just taking away West Salem's most affordable income housing. So I'm just making a comment. I'm not really asking a question other than, was it just easier to do it here, or was it, you know, because, I don't know, just curious why it's so concentrated down here, I guess.
No, that's a good point. So in that, Tori, can you show the residential area, south of school? So all those little kind of checkmarky areas is, I think, Brandon, what you're referring to is where the R4 is. And the R4 is meant to be, it's single family, but allows up to four units. And a live work only if you're an arterial. So none of these are major arterials or arterials. So it's But the reason we put it here is because this area already had a compact development overlay. So these property already had the right to do higher density, and we're getting rid of that overlay just to streamline, because we've heard from the council that they don't want overlays. We're trying to get rid of them, and to the extent that we can accomplish the same thing with the new zone, we are. So it's not that we're trying to change this area versus another area. We just don't want to take those rights away from people that they already had.
A follow-up question to your explanation then. If we're eliminating overlays, are there plans to eliminate like the Patterson Street corridor overlay or the other ones in the renewal zone? Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're all going away.
Not all of them. There's some that are staying. So there's a layer, Tori, I don't know if you can go to the layer section, and there's one that just says overlays, I think, or overlay zone, yes. And that shows all the overlays and whether or not we're proposing to keep it or get rid of it. So you'll see in some areas like the North Broadway area, where like Broadway Commons is, for example, on the other side, we're proposing to get rid of those overlays and just use our mixed use zones. So you can kind of go about and see where we're proposing to keep them or not.
Thank you. Oh, I'm going to say one more thing, just a comment to everybody on the board. If you meet any property owners or talk to residents that are in the renewal zone, Eunice has been, I think really open to people giving her feedback. And if you meet somebody who's got a property that has a zoning that doesn't make sense, or they think at least it doesn't make sense, like Eunice is, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's completely open to discussion about what the appropriate zone is for that property to make it useful. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is the time. We have had property owners come forward and even developers and saying, what do you think about this? We're thinking about this project long term. So we're happy to consider that at the same time as we're doing this whole project.
Yes, thank you for joining us today. I'm not trying to cut anyone off, but again, I just want to reiterate, I think you're doing really great job. I think that it's a difficult job at best and not well suited for anybody. So I think you're doing a really good job, and thank you for your efforts there. It can't be easy getting all the feedback, and I'm sure it seems more negative than it does positive at times. So just know that that's never the intention for me, I'm sure, Brandon or anyone else here. So thank you for your time very much. Very much appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to come back. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, with that, again, I would encourage anyone to jump on and get involved on those Wednesday meetings if you can. I think it's important to be informed, and to Brandon's point, if you're out talking to people, it's good to have these discussions. That said, why don't we move forward? We're probably going to get out a little early today, which is nice again. So now that Eunice is gone, let's talk. Anybody have anything from Edgewater Partnership, or once Sean gets here, he'll be able to chime in on the Neighborhood Association. Anything going on with Edgewater that anyone knows, or the Neighborhood Association?
Kathy?
Can you give us a little more information on the Wednesday meetings? Are they going virtual, or are they in person, and how do you make arrangements to get into those?
So Eunice, if you were to reach out to Eunice and Kathy, you and I can chat after the meeting and get all the information that you need. I can forward you the link. It's just a Zoom call. And cameras are off, everyone is mic'd, they're running the meeting, but then they provide a link that would go into your web browser, and you're allowed to vote. You can also do it through your phone or text or whatever you want, and they ask questions that essentially they're kind of guiding how they want things to go. There's some questions that should be asked probably, but I think if they make it too broad, it could go crazy. So I understand why they're doing it, but it's a good thing. I think there's a handful left. Brandon, do you know how many are left? How many more meetings? Like two or three, four meetings? Two maybe left. Do you know? Yeah, same here. Two or three left. Anyway, Kathy, you and I can touch base afterwards, and I give you the link.
Good. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, okay then.
Can I make a quick announcement?
Please.
Okay. So, West Salem Business Association, we're having our first in-person general monthly meeting. It's always the fourth Thursday, whether it's been on Zoom, which is, I think we're all Zoomed out. So, the 27th of May is going to be at Red Hawk at 3:00 in the afternoon. So, John Patacoli is going to be talking about pairing wines with different foods. So I think it'll be a lot of fun for people to get out. The weather's going to be beautiful. The view is amazing. So if you guys are in the area or available, please join us. That would be terrific. And we're still working on the golf tournament. Okay.
Thank you, Samantha.
Welcome.
Anything else? Oh, Tori, let's real quickly chat. You were going to look into the sign. You were still working on some of that sign stuff that Samantha had been driving at. Mark, thank you for joining us. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Yeah, I can include that as a topic on another agenda. So it hasn't died. I'm looking into it. So there are a few different things. The location, as you know, is a bit challenging given that it's on Wallace, and the amount of, you know, and so from ODOT's perspective and then from the city's perspective, a lot of cars go through that median. So it's, I'm still approaching it, but there's also the issue of the sign, because the signs that have been approved, I'll have to share them with the group when you, from a, for the most part, the Public Works Department has been in charge of the signs, and they look like a highway sign, honestly. So it's one of those where, if as I try to push more to see if we can get something like that at that location, it'd be nice to have something that's, you know, a nice monument type of landscape sign, right? Not some engineered highway sign. So that's, there's a couple of different things that I have to address. And I'm happy to share that in a more of a formal update when I have a little bit more information, maybe at the next meeting or later this summer. So it's not gone. I'm still pursuing it. I want to get as much information that I can share with you as possible. And I want to hopefully coax, you know, people in that direction of, because it is a great opportunity. If we can make it safe so it's not driven through, and make it presentable, that's the other piece. So as soon as I know more, happy to share that. I'll include that in the agenda as an update.
Is there any way that, thank you, Tori, is there any way that we could get some statistics in regards to when, like dates, accidents, of how often that's being driven through? Because I haven't seen it happen. Maybe it happens on the weekends. I'm not sure when I'm not down there. Is that possible? I mean, I don't know what that would do, but I just have a hard time with that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Does anyone with like, is anyone sure what could...
Sorry.
No.
I think it's one personally.
Exactly. Thank you, Brian.
I've seen two accidents happen at that intersection. People are trying to take that curve too fast, and their wheels lock up, and then they just slide and go straight through that intersection. One of them, they took out a sign that was there for that.
Thank goodness, you got Schwab's right there.
Yeah, it's one of the most, so ODOT said it's one of their, I'd love to see that statistic too. So I don't know that cars going through that median necessarily always result in an accident. I do know that you can see photos of that intersection over time. There used to be those ugly, kind of those airport cones that were mounted, and they got taken out so many times they just pulled them. Now it's just kind of, you know, I think there's a curve there, but it's easy, you know, if you have a truck or if you're going fast enough, you could plow through it. But that's something too, you know, we could build it up, make it more stout, but that's the safety, you know, you don't want people, because they do exit that pretty quickly, so if you hit that, you don't want, you know, casualties, like, too serious accident.
Rock and build it up.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So with a truck, like, they'll bounce off of it, you know, and not go through.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So there are conversations that we're having. It's not dead. I just haven't brought it up to you guys as an update. So I'm sorry if I haven't shared information with you yet. Again, I'm just pursuing those two items, and once I know a little bit more, I'll share.
Awesome, Tori. Thank you.
So, ma'am, I'm with you on this cause as well. I like the idea of having something similar. When you go with that transition on Broadway, as you're going into Kaiser, you know, there's an argument there that there's a big bend curve that people hit, that chicane type of curve. But they built that sucker up and it's brick. And if you wreck your car, you wreck your car. I feel like, why are we always playing to the few? I don't know.
You're going
to
bounce right off it. Build up and bounce right off it, right?
Yeah, bouncers. Get off the side or something, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, with that, looks like we're able to wrap up early. Is there any topics that anyone wants to see for next month's agenda?
Sign update.
I'm sorry.
Sign update.
Yeah, sign update. I think
okay. All right. Yeah. I also have Gretchen with the city manager's office. She's heading up the homeless initiatives. I think there are a lot of developments happening on that front. So she's scheduled to come give an update. If that's not something you're interested in, I can push her out. I just feel that, you know, what the area is impacted with the Wallace Rain Park. I do get inquiries about the overpass. So I felt it was something that you guys might want to hear about. So I extended the invitation to her, but I'm happy to make that change if that's not something you want to hear about.
I want to hear it.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
In addition to that, really quick, and this, you know, I don't want to drag us onto a larger conversation, but given our, you know, our budget and all the things, are we looking at, do we need to identify other projects that we can start to look at in the URA? I do feel like we get a lot of great updates and we talk about the sign piece, but I'm curious, where else do we need to look at adding what improvements we can in the URA? Because I do feel like that's our charge, and I feel like maybe we've, you know, I don't want to say we've fallen down on that, but it just seems like we're getting more updates and less action. I don't know.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And Tori, maybe it's circling back to the work that's being done there on 2nd Street. I know that there was some money that was set aside for some work there, and if we need to readdress that, that'd probably be a good thing for next month.
Yeah, I think, so later this summer we'll know more. 2nd Street has moved forward, so the survey's been done. We'll start scheduling public meetings, so you guys will be included in that. I would say it's probably going to be later this summer that we'll know more. So that's moving forward, but I think John brings up a good point. You know, with urban renewal funds, maybe there's something that we could do to provide for that need. I would, maybe on this topic of homelessness with Gretchen, it might be good to have Cherie Walgren. She's for the downtown urban renewal area, she's like me for that capacity. And they've had to address this a lot. So she could probably share. I know that urban renewal is somewhat limited. I mean, we could build a structure, but then we built the structure like state or some other social services would have to pay for staff and do those things. We can't pay for that, and we can't pay for maintenance. So it's one of those things that I think she could probably share a little bit more insight given the years of conversation they've had to try and address it downtown.
Okay. Brandon.
Oh, I was just going to say, John, maybe are you just asking us to think about what we should do in the advisory or the renewal area and then bring projects to it? And we can
talk
about
it. I mean, you know, I don't live down there, so I'm not as dialed in as all of you are to it as well, but is there something we should be doing from a park standpoint? Or, you know, I like Sam's idea about the sign. Is there a different thing we can do to improve the aesthetic appeal of the West Salem area? Are there things that are out there that maybe we're not thinking about? I don't know. I'm not sure, but I just wanted to float it out there to everyone. Like, maybe there's, we put a small fountain in somewhere, or we enhance a park, or something, even if it's a small thing that we can point to and say, hey, we here's a tangible thing we.
Yep. You can do that. It's a good point.
You know, a park off of Rush College? What's that park on Rush College in Dokes Ferry?
Rush College Park.
There you go. That would make sense. I walked down in there, and there was a lot of, you know, ice branches. And anyways, I'm sorry. I'm trying to, like, quadruple task. I think that would be a perfect park, and then put our sign up there. Because it needs
so
much.
That's another location, the Bush Patch, or the Bush, what was it called? What park is it?
The one at Rush College in Dokes Ferry?
Rush College.
I mean, that's way outside our zone.
Oh, sorry. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so if we're the park, it's got to be the one behind Safeway, I would imagine. Or Wallace.
Or along Edgewater.
Yeah.
Edgewater, yeah.
Hey, Brandon.
No problem. I, John, to your point, I mean, like, this might be for another meeting, but with the market starting back up in West Salem, they just set up makeshift tents and folding chairs for people to, like, go there and eat. So maybe it'd be nice to have some sort of a, I don't know, covering or pavilion or something down there along Edgewater to make it more seem like a fixed market, I guess.
Now, those aren't things that we are going to try to address in Second Street, because we've talked about Festival Street in the evening potentially shutting down less traveled streets and allowing, like, dining and people to congregate. So that it will be something we're looking at in the Second Street project.
Okay.
It's unrelated to the homeless piece. I know that they're probably, we have done some park improvements. There are some smaller projects that we can do. But, you know, to John's point, maybe there's one that could be like a park enhancement of also trying to accommodate some of this temporary unhoused, you know, whether it's a buffer or like structural resources or something like that. That's a good point.
All right, well, John, kudos, buddy.
Now, sometimes you hit a home run.
Hey, well, with that, unless there's anything else for the good of the order, gift of time today, and we can all get rolling with our day.
So great to see
you. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Yeah, yeah. Have a good day, everyone. Kathy, I'll give you a ring real quick.
Pardon?
I'll give you a ring so we can talk about it. The meeting today.
Okay, I did want to mention, we mentioned the transit system and chariots, and I was on that board earlier, and there's just no changing anything about the amount of people on the bus and the areas they cover. Once they change their financing from local Salem financing, we just don't have any push in that direction. It's just, I'd like to encourage us to not get into that because it's just fruitless. But anyway, I do want to mention that I think the school board's making strides. They're trying really hard to absolutely guarantee we'll have 5-day-a-week school again in the fall, and hopefully we will get there. I mean, I know that it's painful for everybody, so we're struggling. I do want to encourage you to vote for school board on this May ballot. You should have gotten your ballot right now, and everything's ready to go, so please vote. That's it.
I agree. Thank you, Kathy. All right. Well, with that, everyone have a great day, and we will see you next month.